Read from the book of Revelation again in chapter 1, Revelation 1 and verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I became dead, and behold, I am living to the ages of ages, and have the keys of death and of Hades. Write therefore what thou hast seen, and the things that are, and the things that are about to be after these. And then in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10. And he says to me, Seal not the words of the prophecy of this book. The time is near. Let him that does unrighteously do unrighteously still, and let the filthy make himself filthy still. And let him that is righteous practice righteousness, and he that is holy, let him be sanctified still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward with me to render everyone as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And finally, in verse 20, he that testifies these things says, Yea, I come quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Just feel encouraged to say a few words as a result of our time together this evening and the thought of the coming of the Lord and how near it is. We are living in difficult days, we know that, but what light and hope we have. Malcolm spoke of the rapture when we shall go to be with the Lord, the hope that we have. A hymn started with the coming of the Lord. These are things that are to be the view of the Christian at the present time. I just felt encouraged to read from these scriptures. And John receiving the revelation, what a moment this was. Think of when he saw the Lord in his judicial garb. This is one who had rested on the bosom of Jesus when he was here. He was close to him. But here he sees Jesus in a completely different light. He says, and I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You know, people are very arrogant at the present time. They say when they will come face to face with the Lord, they're going to say certain things. But he was one who knew the Lord intimately and loved him. And when he saw him like this, he had nothing to say but fell at his feet as dead. How little we realize the power and majesty that belongs to Christ and will be made known and be seen in this day. He says... He laid his right hand upon him. How affecting that is, isn't it? The Lord laying his right hand upon John, right hand of power. And he says, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. We spoke of the King of the Jews, didn't we? And the one who is the creator coming into this world. Here he speaks of himself as the first and the last and the living one. There's no one before him and there's no one after him. And he became dead. What a thing that is. The matter of the Lord Jesus became dead. It was necessary that he should die to bring in all of the workings of God's plans into fruition. The great matter, meeting the matter of sin and redemption and securing all for the heart of God. But they said, I live into the ages of ages and have the keys of death and Hades. Think of the power that belongs to him. We read of the matter of the abyss and the devil being put in the abyss for 1,000 years. What power that the Lord Jesus has to put such a person in the abyss for 1,000 years. He has the keys of death and of Hades. And then he says to John, write therefore the things that thou hast seen and the things that are, the things that are about to be after these. What he wrote about the things that he had seen, I suppose, had been just this introduction in the first chapter of Revelation, but then he says the things that are. That's the present dispensation. It's interesting to note that what John writes about, the things that are, shows where God's real interest in the earth is at the present time. It's not particularly with the world and its system, but it's in relation to the testing of the Lord Jesus, the church period. And that's where the Lord and God's interest is at the present time. And he goes right through this dispensation, these seven assemblies representative of the whole time period of when the Spirit comes to the moment when the church will be taken up. And how instructive it is for us, commend it to each of us to read of it. We come to the end, you might say, in Laodicea, what terrible conditions exist there. And I think we would all be agreed that we are in Laodicean times. But there's also that which encourages us, because we have Philadelphia that goes on to the end. There's that which is true, which the Lord can take account of. It's a challenge to our own hearts is where do we stand? There's someone said about that there's not much that could come in between, anything that comes in between my heart and Christ. And what is of Philadelphia becomes Laodicea, and how easily we can slip into that state, you might say. Laodicea is a very sad assembly because they didn't feel they had any need of anything, and they didn't realise their state. Well, the Lord addresses it and he appeals to the overcomer. It wasn't exactly to speak much about Laodicea, but it's just about that the things are where God's interest is at the present time. We look at the world, actually you've spoken about it, how terrible things are, the laws that are brought in that are contrary to the word of God. But God is over all. He is the one that is allowing these things to take place. And it's all bearing, coming up to the moment of fruition for when God will come in judgment. But his attitude towards men at the moment is a day of grace. He's still appealing. He's still wanting men to be saved. What a wonderful and patient God he is, our Saviour God. And yet there is going to be a time when he will have to say to these things. But at the present time, it's in relation to his church and all this proceeding. When we come to the scripture at the end of Revelation chapter 22, he says, seal not the words to the prophecy of this book. That's interesting, isn't it? That when Daniel received his vision, he was to seal the book. It wasn't for that time, but this is for people to know about. It's not to be sealed, it's to be known and understood. Blessed is he that reads and understands, I think it says, in relation to this book. And also the seriousness of altering what's in the scriptures as well. But this is an open book for us. The words of the prophecy of this book, the time is near. That should alert the believer to be on their guard and to be expectant of the coming of the Lord, as I said earlier. This is the focal point, this is the viewpoint of the Christian. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. And how ready are we for that moment? May we be concerned and exercised to be ready, because the time is near. And then he speaks about a sort of fixed situation in verse 11. But then he says in verse 12, behold, I come quickly. What an encouragement that is for believers. Think of how many there are who suffer for the name of Christ, suffer privation, those who suffer have lost their lives, those that are martyred. And what an encouragement it is that I come quickly. It should disturb our hearts, dear brethren, as to what will be our outlook at the present time. What a privilege we have of remembering the Lord and having pardoned his praise and these great opportunities that are ours at the present time. May we answer to them, because the Lord is coming quickly. It says, I will my reward with me to render to everyone as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Another reference to his greatness and his power and his majesty. And then finally in verse 20, he that testifies these things, yea, I come quickly. And the answer will be, come, Lord Jesus. May we be kept in this spirit, feel encouraged by what we've had before us this evening. May we be encouraged, dear brethren, at this present time, for his name's sake. Amen.